T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call Banks is brought to you by your local New York, New Jersey, Connecticut Kia dealer, by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And by GEICO, 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance. A two-time Super Bowl champion, number 58, Carl Banks. Hi, Carl.
Hi, man. I miss you guys, man. I wish I were there today, but I had to catch a flight back from Atlanta this morning.
Oh, I see.
I just didn't want to get caught in traffic.
So I don't blame you.
Now, will we see you this year? Is this going to be a regular thing, or you are going to come in?
Starting Monday. You'll see me.
Oh, you are going to be here Monday.
Yeah. I'm not big on the whole call-in thing.
Right.
Even though we have an ISDN line, I like hanging out with you guys.
Well, we were speculating. We thought maybe this was a dispute with Chernoff. Maybe there was some kind of strike going on.
Wait. I spoke too soon. I forgot. There's been some changes. Hey, why don't we just keep it fluid? This whole appearance thing.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's just keep it fluid.
Day to day, week to week.
Day to day, you know.
I like that.
Smart.
We'll keep it fluid. Smart business. You never know. You know, what mandates come down,
right,
or if we get in a big argument and it becomes the Morton Downey show. And we just, you know,
Morton
let's just keep
Downey,
it
man. That's a blast.
Remember
in the
Morton
pants.
Downey?
Oh,
show,
my God.
It? Oh, man. So, Carl, what'd you think? What was your initial reaction and even your reaction now a few days later with the news that Eli is sitting for the rookie Daniel Jones?
Well, I didn't have a negative reaction to it at all. I think it was going to happen. And if we're all being honest with ourselves, then we were probably hoping that Eli got some wins so that he could continue to play a little more. But it was going to happen, and because they're not winning, there's no good time to make that change, because it wasn't that Eli was the cause of losses, but he wasn't winning either. So you might as well just start the future now. And I, you know, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure Eli was upset about it. Obviously, he's disappointed, but a guy was drafted to replace him, and it happened. And so there are never really happy endings to these types of things. But the reality is, Eli gets to continue to play if he chooses to. And if he doesn't, he goes out somewhat on his own terms. He didn't go out winning, you know, football games, but he's a 500 quarterback right now. And, you know, to be honest, this kind of helps save his legacy, too.
You know, the one thing I will say, though, Carl, I mean, unless he decides I'm just leaving now in the middle of the season, which I don't see Eli doing.
No.
I mean, he could play again. I mean, you could have a scenario where Jones gets hurt. You could have a scenario where as the season goes on, Jones maybe is having a little bit of a rough patch. So they got to say, you know what, we're going to sit him and let him watch a little bit for a couple games. And Eli comes back in. So I wouldn't necessarily just dismiss that we're not going to see him again.
No, I don't think we're not talking about retirement at this moment, but we know that the torch has been passed.
Sure.
But
oh,
what
for
better,
sure.
Yeah, what better backup to have to a rookie, even in terms of helping him prepare, than someone that has played at a very high level like Eli Manning and willing to help him. So, you know, I'm looking at this game going forward and I see, well, Todd Bowles is going to blitz a lot and they're probably going to bring even more because it's a rookie. But then you have a guy like Eli Manning who has seen just about everything, who can pretty much help this kid prepare for some of these types of things. So he's a good asset to have on your bench, and the fact that he's taken this in stride as best anyone can, I think he's going to be an asset to this team this year.
What do you think, you know, and we asked Alec Ogletree, and he's, you know, fully supporting Daniel Jones, but privately, do you think any veteran player looks at this and says, boy, you know, now we're starting a rookie as opposed to the veteran who's won two Super Bowls. Are we really trying to win? You don't think they're questioning it?
No.
Why?
No. Because the reality is when they drafted the kid, everybody on the roster knew. And there's also, I call it the truth serum, when you're out there on the field, you know what your teammates can do. You know who your better football players are. And Eli Manning can still win football games. But then when you see the guy they got to replace him and some of the other things he can do, you say it's just a matter of time anyway.
But do you, think
you're
right
in denial if you're saying, oh, no, we got to get as much out of Eli as possible and we got to stave off this kid. It's no different than what Kansas City had in Mahomes versus the kid they had there before him. They knew the difference in athleticism.
Alex Smith.
They knew the difference between the two quarterbacks because guys sit and watch these guys in practice and they compare notes. And guys are sitting there saying, oh, this dude's going to be a problem.
So you think that a lot of guys think that Daniel Jones gives them a better chance to win than Eli?
No, they're not winning.
No, a better chance to win. Obviously, they haven't won anything. They're 0-2.
How about this? Improved defense gives them a better chance to win.
No, we all know that. And Eli's not the reason they're 0-2. I mean, I make that clear. I think we all know that. But I'm just saying, do you think they think Daniel Jones gives them a better chance to win?
He's their future now. Right. That's what they think now. Whether he gives them a better chance – he's going to have his hiccups because he's a rookie. Long term, he's the answer, in their opinion. That's why he was drafted. Sunday, does he give him a better chance to win than Eli? Who knows? We haven't seen him take a regular season snap. So from an athletic standpoint, from an ability standpoint, yeah. But, you know, quarterback is played between the ears too. And he's a rookie. There is everything he sees – on Sunday will be the first time he sees it because he's never been up against a Todd Bowles defense. He's never seen any of these players in live action. He doesn't know what they do other than what's on film. Eli Manning can help him with that. So I can't tell you he gives him a better chance to win, but he's their future. Once we see him play in a regular season game, then we'll know how far he is. But it's a week-to-week proposition with rookies anyway because they're all seeing it for the first time, at a different pace, even at a different pace than regular season. Now, he got some mop-up duty in Dallas, and he fumbled the ball. So these are things, it's evolving. We're going to see how he does from this game going forward.
Yeah, you know, and as Ev, you pointed this out to me earlier, the bookies don't think that there's much of a drop-off because the line has really not changed at all with Jones as the starter as opposed to Eli.
Could this be a function of Tampa's performance?
Well, maybe. Tampa's not exactly, the Patriots that the Giants
are playing. You know what, though, Carl, just for perspective on this, because maybe a lot of people listening say, well, what does it mean when the news came out that Cam Newton wasn't going to play?
Yep.
Line moved
dramatically.
Four points.
The Cardinals went to be the favorite from the underdog.
Correct. They went from 2.5 dog to 2.5 favorite. So you're talking about a 4-point swing with Newton, a 0-point swing with Eli to Daniel Jones.
Well, that means that Eli's not moving the needle in terms of what's needed. Now, again, I'm not a big betting person, so I don't know how the lines go. But, you know, the Giants have problems. You know, they got problems to fix. They think they're fixable outside of the quarterback position. We'll see. If the best thing the Giants can do at this moment to support the young quarterback is to get better performance from their defense, better performance from their special teams, because field position for a young player really helps him out, but it helps how you coach him as well. Because if it's anxiety-free – and he's not starting with his heels to the goal line every other series he takes the field, and you give him some breathing room, you can call some stuff to get him in a rhythm. If you get him backed up and he's got to make a play on third down, then that's a little bit of anxiety comes into play there because he can't turn the ball over because they're already putting the defense in scoring position. So special teams, the perfect example – for me, of a team that really had that down pat is when Chad Pennington played with the Jets. They had great return teams, great coverage, great kickers, great punters. So it was they always took the field somewhere 25, 35-yard line, and they were able to really work the field position game. And I think that's going to be important for this young quarterback, that the special teams have got to play well in defense too.
All right, so basically what you're saying is that that's going to dictate how much of the playbook Shurmur opens up for this kid. And I was going to ask you that. I mean, do you overall don't think that he's going to play this pretty conservatively? Or you think he's going to say, okay, let it fly with Jones?
He's going to let it fly. I mean, they drafted him. They're going to give him the information. They can always pull it back.
Right, right.
And obviously the playbook is always open during the course of a game. So depending on how the game is going, they're going to look at him and say, well, we can't put him in this situation. But I think they've given him a full game, the same game plan they would give Eli Manning. Probably doesn't have the latitude mentally to make some adjustments that Eli would have. But I'm sure the whole playbook's open to him. They're not giving him like five plays.
Right. We're joined by Carl Banks here on a Football Friday. Mm. The Giants get set to begin the Daniel Jones era. What'd you think about Pat Shurmur pulling the plug with Mike?
Well, I don't think that relationship was going to get any stronger. This started probably when the offseason in the spring where, you know, Mike lobbed some pretty insulting things, called them all losers, and it had kind of whatever it is. I'm not getting in the middle of it. Pat's a big boy. Mike's a big boy. But I'm not surprised by that. Just because it was just getting more and more contentious. And when you're not losing and the hard questions come and, you know, it just gets a little tough. So
you know what the problem is? And it was tough in my lifetime. And I acknowledge I wasn't around in the 70s where the Giants had their biggest issues. Mm-hmm. This is just fact based. This is the worst Giant run I've ever seen. I mean, this is the worst of the worst.
It's tough times right now. And, you know, Mike has been pretty outspoken about it. And it's up to Mike whether or not he knows if he feels like he's going over the line or not, but clearly he's been very vocal about it. And the general manager and the head coach and the organization have their feelings about it. And so it's no more.
I was listening, I guess it was on the app or on the radio.com because it wasn't live, but I was listening to the interview. And one of the questions I started thinking about, because I said, how would I answer that if I was Pat Shurmur? And the question was, basically, here's your record. Here's your record in Cleveland. Here's your record with the Giants. Why are you the guy to be the head coach? Which is a tough question, but it's interesting. And the more I thought about it, I said, I don't know what the hell I would say if I'm Pat Shurmur. So I guess I'm going to take that difficult question and ask you, what makes Pat Shurmur the guy? Because I think there's a lot of Giant fans. Forget Mike for a second. I think there's a lot of Giant fans that are wondering if he's the guy and saying, I don't know if he's the guy. He didn't do a great job in Cleveland. Well, this team won 5 wins last year. They're 0-2 this year. So I ask you, and I know it's a difficult question because I don't know how I'd answer it. So what is the answer?
Well, the answer is you don't take his first job. You look at his current job. Most coaches in the NFL get the crap first job.
Right.
And it's just kind of the resume builder, and you try to move on from there. So he's a year and 3 games into his second job here with the Giants. So the tenure, but the numbers are what they are.
Right.
I'm not sugarcoating those. But if you want to talk about his Giant tenure, it's where the question should be answered. And I would say the jury's still out. He's got the quarterback he wants. He's got the running back he wants. He's rebuilt the offensive line. So let's see what happens moving forward. That would be my answer to it. The record is what it is in Cleveland. But when you look at most first-time coaches, they're getting jobs that nobody wants.
Right.
And very few of them turn it around.
Poor Brian Flores. Look at his first job.
There you go. So he could be going. He could, you know, going into his second year, 0-16,
or
single digits in something. So, you look at how they're building it. His slate was clean when he walked into the as far as the Giants were concerned. Obviously,
they
didn't factor in Cleveland. So right now he is 5-13.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But this is, you know, he's got his contract, if they don't do anything prior to that. But I believe that he's confident he'll get things going where it should go because he has his quarterback now. He has his running back. He has an offensive line. I'm not sure if they feel they got the best defensive players that they're going to get, but I'm sure they're going to continue to look to upgrade.
See, that's the thing, and I think we're going to learn more about Coach Shurmur now. He's got a more mobile quarterback in Daniel Jones. We'll see what he does. It's the other coach that I worry more about now, Carl, and that's James Betcher in this system, which so far has been a major flop since he's been here.
Well, I have some questions about his willingness to make adjustments so that it fits kind of the players, but I don't doubt his ability. He's a hell of a coach. He's a bright mind, but that doesn't mean that there's not some stubbornness in there. But I don't sit in the meeting rooms, so I don't know what he's teaching or how he's teaching it, him and his staff, but I see the end result where guys are disorganized and they're giving up a lot of big plays. So the way I was taught by some pretty good teachers that are still teaching in this league right now is get them all in something they can play and then build from there. So whatever, and again, I said it last week, we don't even know what the profile of this defense is. We don't know. Are they known for what at this point? They don't have a personality. You know, and you can look around the league and you see the defenses, you know what they are. You don't know what this one is. This is kind of a, like I said, a kind of a grab bag of plays and guys just, you know, out trying to execute the play that's called. And I don't know if they have a base that they rely on or a base characteristic that they rely on. I know he's a hell of a coach. We'll find out how he does moving forward with less than Calais Campbell, Chandler Jones, Honey Badger, Patrick Peterson, you know, Deion Buchanan. He doesn't have five All-Pros on his roster that he could really go for it with. But I believe that in time we'll find out more about him. I know for a fact that he's a bright coach. He understands defense. Now, how he makes his adjustments or if he's married to the system he's running, we'll find it'll reveal itself, because right now we see a lot of what they can't do. And this week we'll find out if he's made some adjustments to get them in some things that they can do. The jury's out on it.
You know, getting back to Shurmur, I mean, doesn't it really start now because Jones is his quarterback? I mean, he's pretty much tied to what Jones is, isn't
he? He's tied to Jones, but he's tied the first day he walked through the door as a Giant coach. Now, his career coaching record, like I said, you can call it into question however you want, but the Giants are going to judge him on – the ownership's going to judge him on his win-loss record
as a
Giants coach.
Of course.
So it started the day he walked in, but if they were all realistic about what they had and what they had to do, then there's going to be some concessions made. If you walk in and you got Ereck Flowers on your roster, or whoever, whoever, if you go in and you look at this offensive line and it's a mess, right? If you look defensively and you got a mess on your hands, or there are some things that you want to change, and obviously there was some radical change with some of the best players on the roster. They were all in sync with that. So those concessions are built into the equation. But it starts when you take the keys to the building. It's yours. Now, if you know you got to get a new water heater, you got a leaky roof, and it's not just a paint job, then everybody knows you're getting what you paid for. But he's got to fix it. His job, okay, I'll take this house. And they're saying, well, you got to fix it, and it's his to fix. So we'll see. He's fixing it his way. There will not be a long patience with that, obviously. But the things, they seem to be in sync in most of what they want to do. And the quarterback is now in. Now they can grow. Now he can really try to implement what he wants to do with a quarterback that he wants.
Realistically, you watched him in the preseason, and he was damn impressive. And I even said it to Giant fans. You should be excited. Why not? I get you're not facing NFL starters, but still, you saw a lot of positive signs from Daniel during the preseason. What's a realistic expectation for him right out of the gate and moving forward in year one?
Ask me next week, because he has not faced live bullets. Like I said, in the Dallas game was a little touch. That game was pretty much out of control, right?
Yeah.
Let's see under fire how he operates, and then I can tell you what the trajectory is. there's confidence that he'll be able to handle things. We don't know. Like I said, with Bowles, he's going to bring a lot of stuff. He's going to give him a lot to look at. But it's not just his responsibility. It's his offensive line's responsibility, too. So, but we'll see how he reacts. The Giants can do him a big favor by playing good defense and giving him good field position in the special teams, of special teams.
Yeah.
And then you can say, okay, well, you know, when his back's not up against the wall, he operates well. He's, you know, he's seeing the field well. He's doing all these different things. Or he you know, called the blitz. He got him in the right protection. He got his wide receivers in the right routes for the blitz. Maybe he makes the play. Maybe he doesn't. But those are the things you look for right away. Sees blitz, gets the protection set with his offensive line, get his receivers running the right routes based on the pressures that are coming. And then you say, okay, well, he's got that between the ears. Now it comes down to the execution of it.
What do you think Sunday? What's your feel?
I don't.
You'd have no think. You don't think
I don't
at
have
all.
A feel. Listen,
you got to have some feel.
Joe, it's kind of a waste of time to really predict anything with this team when they have.
Do you feel good about this quarterback? Let me ask you this. Do you feel, forget everything else, we understand the issues they have.
To answer your question,
do you feel good about the quarterback?
From what I've seen, yes.
Okay.
But none of us have seen a lot.
I understand.
But I'm going to say, yes, on the record, yes, I feel good about Daniel Jones.
Okay.
To make a prediction, when they've given up 63 points.
No, I get that.
In two games, they're putting in a new quarterback. You hope for the best. You look for progress. Obviously, 0-3 stings, and the morale of the team starts to sink a little bit because it doesn't matter if they got a new quarterback or not. The other 52 guys in there, they're losing right with him, and it doesn't feel good, you know. And you don't, and you're trying to change the culture. Winning helps change the culture more than anything. Winning raises the morale.
Of course.
Your locker room.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
And
of
when
course.
You're losing, the morale is down and the characters start to kind of float to the surface. Winning absorbs, right? And it makes them feel better about themselves. So if you want to see the culture really get to where it needs to be, you got to win some football games because you can have a lot of great guys and a lot of smart guys, and if they continue to lose football games, then they just don't have – that winning feeling about themselves.
Amen.
So
culture has become such an overused
word. Yeah, it's
ridiculous. And
it is.
What matters is winning.
That's it.
Yeah.
Winning matters. If you don't win, what's your culture? Your culture's losing.
Now,
exactly.
I got a very important question to ask you. Will Belichick put 70 on the Jets this week? What do you think? Seriously, I think
they'll take it as it comes. I'll tell you that.
No, now, take it as it comes. They'll
take it as if the quarterback is struggling, if they can get some turnovers on him, they'll put up some points.
Yeah.
And I mean, listen, they're not going to expose Brady. Now, they got some defensive players out there on the Jets side.
70. I
wouldn't go that far.
Well,
but
I would. The all-time record is 73. I think it was in a championship game with the Bears and the Redskins back in like 1941. They break the record.
If it were Kansas City,
at least 50.
I'd say it'd be 75.
Wait, hold on. You don't think he wants to stay? First of all, he hates the Jets. He probably hates the Jets more than any team in football. That's number one.
Like that though
doesn't matter if
it's they're not 40, built like if they were a fast break offense like Kansas City
43
you'd be off and on your way, but they're not that. But look how they got to those.
Would you give Rutgers a better chance against Alabama?
Stop it. I'm not getting into all of that.
I'm just asking. Now,
listen,
I'm throwing it out there.
How about this? Let me just say this.
Go ahead.
We're in good company. Misery loves company, and both Giant fans and Jet fans, so I am in no position to talk about what the Jets are going to do or what they're not going to do.
If my team was playing the Bucs this week, I'd say, you know what? Maybe there's a glimmer they could win the game. Okay? Maybe they could.
All right, well.
If they're playing
where is my glimmer?
Tell me why.
I don't know.
Besides being a stupid Jet fan.
No, you're not a stupid
On a
Jet
beautiful
fan.
Sunday where it's going to be 86 degrees that but, I should stick myself yo, in the house to watch this
it's
disaster.
Just crap I'm happens,
serious.
Man. Did anybody predict your quarterback would be missing for 4 weeks because of mono?
But why should I be surprised? Why is it only a Jet quarterback?
Here's the good news.
In the history of sports, nobody's ever got mono but the Jet quarterback.
Here's the good news.
It's unbelievable.
Back. he's coming back.
I understand. You know, I
hold
I
the rope. That's all I can say.
Can't come back soon enough.
That rope, let me tell you.
Hold the rope,
there's
Joe.
There's many years of that rope call. That,
my guy, hold the rope.
That rope's been around decades now. You know what I mean?
You got to hold the rope. This is the one you got to hold the rope until
he
gets back.
Hold the rope. 72 yeah. nothing.
By the way, does it make you feel better that I was reading a story that there was a quarterback that had mono and he lost his quarterback job because of it?
Who was that?
Chris Chandler.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Chris Chandler had mono?
He had mono.
With the Falcons? Was he with the Falcons then?
Yeah. He was with the Oilers at the time.
Okay.
And the
Who
mono.
Who did they replace him with?
You ready? You set me up, Carl.
Go.
Steve McNair.
Well, that's pretty good.
How about that?
That's
that gave him the opportunity to play.
Now you're talking about something.
Yeah. How about that?
Steve McNair.
So maybe Luke Falk is Steve McNair.
Yeah, you know.
No,
no. Somehow I don't think Luke Falk is going to be the
great. And they didn't draft him to be.
The great Steve McNair. Who was the great player.
They didn't draft him to be McNair either.
It's a shame how it ended for Steve McNair, but Steve McNair was a great player.
No, he was. And very underrated, I thought.
No question.
Carl, one quick thing, we'll get to the keys. I want to ask you about Winston, okay? Because this is a guy I admit I was very wrong about. After his second year in the NFL, he had a very good second year, which is always a big year as a quarterback. They won 9 games. He's 22 years old. I was convinced he was about to become an elite quarterback.
Sure.
And over the last 3 years, it has been a disaster to the point where I think we're watching the end of Winston in Tampa. What's your thoughts on what's become of Jameis Winston and the state of Jameis Winston?
7-17. Over the last 24
games.
That is
correct, yes. Since that 9-7.
Right.
Big second year, you are correct. 7-17 since.
Well, water finds its level. You know, he was low and then he was high. Now he's kind of leveling off. But a lot of that has to do with Jameis Winston. I don't know if he has given himself the best chance to be a great NFL quarterback or even a very good NFL quarterback, because if it's not one thing, it's another that has nothing to do with football. So if he could just get his focus right, and they've had people in the building to make sure that he really wants to be part of a successful career as a quarterback, it sometimes comes down to the individual. We know the talent that he has, no different, and he probably has more talent than Mariota, definitely more arm talent.
And Mariota's not very good.
Yeah, he's not good.
And
either.
Both guys come out in the same draft, and people were trying to predict which guy was going to ascend to be, you know, a great quarterback. And both guys are where they are for different reasons, though. But with Winston, it's just, I think it comes down to him. You know, is it important enough to him? We know he's got a pretty good skill set, but it just doesn't execute. Decision making on the football field has not been great for him a lot of times. So when you can be that quarterback and they can bench you for, you know, Fitzmagic because you're just not getting it done, that tells you all you need to know.
The only reason why Mariota's had a better career is the playoffs and that victory against Kansas City. Yeah. Outside of that, both guys have been massive disappointments.
I think the team's been better, too. I think the Titans are a better team.
They were in the playoffs, But Tampa hasn't.
I mean, look, both guys, like, for whatever reasons, they're different. We know you can pretty much chronicle things that are going on in Jameis Winston's life outside of football, just distracting type of things. And Mariota, he's just struggling with his skill set at the league level, at the NFL level, for consistency. He does some good things, and then he gives you a few head scratchers.
All right, let's get the keys to the game. Giants trying to get their first victory of the year. The keys to the local game are brought to you by New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut Kia Dealers. Go to KiaDealers.com to see what's possible when quality, style, and dependability meet rugged performance. Obviously, the key to the Jet game is to pray. What are the keys to the Giant game?
Extreme prayer.
Extreme. Yeah.
Right. Well, the obvious offense, defense, special teams, but they all come together. They have to set this kid up for success. So your special teams I think it's one third of each. You've got to be able to, one third of this operation, special teams, we've got to make sure that you give this kid good field position or pin the defense back so that they can force a punt. Defense has to play much better and consistently. They can't give up long drives either. They can't pin somebody down at the 2-yard line and look up and they're scoring on a 98-yard drive. They should be able to hold them and get them to punt at least by midfield. So, and then the offensive line. Offensive line has to be really alert this week so that they can, again, protect the young quarterback so he doesn't take unnecessary hits or unexpected blindside hits from some of the sneaky blitzes that Tampa will give them.
And no prediction from you.
Yeah, interesting. It'll be interesting.
And that's your prediction is going to be interesting.
That's easy.
How about this one? How about this one? Let's see.
I'll tell you one thing. I give the Giants.
That's my prediction.
I'll tell you right now. I give the Giants a hell of a lot better chance to win than the Jets do. Think of that.
I am very interested in seeing the young man play. I want to see, I don't want to start on the defense, right?
No,
but this is why you can't make a prediction on anything the Giants do because you got a rookie quarterback.
Right. I got it.
And you got a defense that what have they shown
you? No, I understand.
They're young and immature.
And they can show up and play lights out, and all of a sudden.
They've been bad.
Yeah. But if they show up lights out, get some turnovers, it'll be awesome. That's what I hope. Mm-hmm. I hope that, but hope's not a strategy.
I think this is going to be a close game. I think that Jones is going to – I really believe that. I think Jones is going to play pretty well, and I think this is going to be a close game for the Giants. I don't know if they're going to win, but I think it's going to be a close game.
We shall see.
I really do.
All right, Carl. Great talking to you, my friend.
Thank you, man.
All the love, Carl. We're going to see you Monday.
Yes.
All right.
In the building.
See you,
great Carl Banks giving us the keys, talking Jets, talking Giants. Take this for what it's worth. I read this. I think it was on NFL.com. That since 1970, first-round quarterbacks making their first start, the record is 37-69-1.
Yeah.
Which is not a surprise.
No, that sounds about right. In fact, I'm surprised that there's been that 37 wins.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, that's probably a higher number than I would think.
Yeah. Look, the rookie quarterbacks can succeed, but
sure.
they succeed when they're in a situation where they're not asked to do a lot.
Yep.
Mark Sanchez was a rookie quarterback.
Yep, he won his first game.
Yeah, he was asked to hand the football off
ground and pound
a great amount of times.
Ground and pound.
Yeah.
He won his first three. I think the Jets started 3-0 that first year.
Yeah, and they made the playoffs. They got to a championship
game. Yes, they did.
But most first-round pick quarterbacks don't start in ideal situations.
Still, the best quarterback I've ever seen in a rookie year was Dan Marino. I mean,
he's the exception, man.
The best I've ever seen for his rookie year was him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was tremendous from the get-go.
Well, I'll tell you about another guy, and he wasn't asked to do a lot, but he was 13 for 13, and that was Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, he was good.
He was 13-0.
But he wasn't Marino.
But he wasn't even close because he wasn't asked to do it.
He said,
you're the quarterback,
right.
And just don't screw up.
Right.
And if you're asked to do that as a rookie, you may succeed.
Yeah.
But you're not Dan Marino.
Yeah,
Dan Marino is the exception.
He is the exception.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.